Shalom, this is Billy Brim. I'm here this morning, awake and on time. I waked up from my travels. By the time I got on, though, it was a little bit late getting on. I like to get on at 10 till, but it was a little bit late getting on, probably 8 till, and we have 40 states that I got, plus Canada, plus Belgium. But I'm quite sure in those 53 states that 53 that had already called in before I got on the line, we really had a great turnout. I can tell from the volume of the call that it's just great. I'm just so thankful that so many of us are joining together and lifting our voices in unity to the Lord. Last night I was watching a ball game, basketball game, and I have a, you know, on my phone it alerts me. So it alerted me to the fact that rockets were being fired from Gaza into Israel, and that they had put up some iron domes. Now, when I was over there, Ronnie Levy explained to me what they're putting off from Gaza into Israel is low cost, less than $500 each. And many are just little things below. But the ones that they had to intercept three. And this was in the Jerusalem Post this morning. Palestinian terror groups fired at least 13 rockets on Israel from the Gaza Strip on Tuesday evening, according to the IDF. Three of the rockets fired were intercepted by the Iron Dome, and at least three launching sites were spotted by the IDF in the Gaza Strip. So each of these Iron Domes that they respond with, they're only going to respond if it hits a populated area. That's not a real, the area that it's hitting into Israel is not heavily populated, but it does have some good-sized cities and villages, and evidently three of the rockets were going to hit those. So the Iron Dome interceptions cost Israel $100,000 each. I want to speak a little bit about borders today. Gaza, I followed Gaza for years because, as you know, in 2005, Ariel Sharon put out from Gaza the Jews who had lived there since 1967 when it was taken from Egypt. And then it was turned over to the Palestinian control. Right away they wanted to make a democracy out of it, which was so wrong. I always knew that trying to make democracies out of the Middle East nations would never work. But the United States insisted that it be a democracy and have free elections, and of course the Hamas won. And now it's nothing but it's totally terrorist. It's totally, and the people who do live there who are not terrorists, they're starving. They're Israel. I saw yesterday that some of the humanitarian supplies, Israel supplies them water and electricity. And some of the humanitarian supplies, I think at least three truckloads, were turned back at the Gaza border by the Hamas. They don't care about their people. And they just want this on the stage that here now they're trying to claim that Israel is Goliath and that they're little Davids. But they are not. And, of course, it has to do with borders. I'm thinking a lot about borders, and I want to read just a little bit about them from the Bible. Israel, God set the borders. Actually, he set the borders for all the nations. Now, all the nations don't have the borders that God set, but we do know that he set them, and I'm going to read about that later. But for sure, he set Israel's borders. Judah, the tribe of Judah, when they were getting when Joshua was dividing the land, and remember the way they did it was the high priest put on the ephod, he put on the breastplate and the ephod, and the breastplate had 12 stones, and under each of those stones, one for each of the tribe of Israel, upon each of those stones was the name of that tribe. And of course they only used consonants. Now what would happen is Joshua would stand behind the high priest. The high priest, who had the name of God upon his shoulders, he would concentrate on the name of God, and the Lord would spell out the answers to them. So he spelled out where each tribe got her borders, got its borders. And the borders for Judah include Joshua. The borders for Judah are in Joshua 15. Excuse me, include Gaza. Joshua 15:47. Now, this is just one verse out of all the borders that God gave to Israel. And he said, Ashdod with her towns and her villages. And he had named some other towns there, the five towns of the Philistines. And then he goes on in verse 47, Gaza with her towns and her villages unto the river of Egypt and the great sea, that would be the Mediterranean, and the border thereof. So Gaza is the inheritance of Judah. Now, when Joshua was old, the Lord said to him in Joshua 13:1, now, Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said unto him, you are old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to possess. God gave them the land, but he always told them, possess the land. And here he is reprimanding Joshua that he had not possessed all the land God had given him. And then in verse 2, God continues saying, this is the land that yet remains, all the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Geshurites, from Sihor, which is east of Egypt, north of the boundary of Ekron. And he goes on down to name those villages of Gaza. He says, you haven't possessed Gaza. And really, that's been the problem with Israel. They have been embarrassed about Gaza. Caleb conquered Gaza. David was anointed there and reigned there 7 years. But somehow modern-day born-again Israel has been embarrassed about Gaza. Actually, they were more in line with God's will and God's way when after the 67 war, Jews began moving into Gaza, and it became a veritable garden made out of the sands. We visited the villages there, and it's just amazing to see what they grew, the fruits, the vegetables, how God blessed it when they were there. And now it's been a thorn in their side ever since Ariel Sharon turned it over. And last night, here came those rockets over the top again. So we're going to pray about Gaza. And I'll talk a little bit more about borders, because God, he sets borders. Psalm 74:17 gets us a look into God's idea of borders. You have set all the borders of the earth. God has set them. You have made summer and winter. Now we have a New Testament a scripture which tells us the very same thing. Acts chapter 17:22, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. So Paul, standing in the midst of Athens, said, Areopagus, Mars Hill, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For I passed along and observed the objects of your worship. I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. So this is how God had put the words in Paul's mouth, and they became scripture. This is how he revealed, Paul revealed, and God was in it, how he revealed God to pagans who knew nothing about God. And he identified him in verse 24 of Acts 17:24 as the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth. He's the creator. So as the creator, he gets to say the borders. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Verse 26, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God. Now here's that verse 26 in the Amplified. And he made from one common origin, one source, one blood, all nations of men to settle on the face of the earth, having definitely determined their allotted periods of time and the fixed boundaries of their habitation, their settlements, lands, and abodes. So we see that God does set boundaries of nations. Now, I'm not claiming that every nation right now that exists in the map that exists on the globe, every nation is exactly the boundaries that God gave it. In fact, we know for sure Israel has larger boundaries. There's a greater Israel that God promised them in Genesis 15. But right now, we're for sure that Gaza is in their allotted land. And they need to, I tell you the truth, they really need to have taken Gaza and kept Gaza. But right now, that border is being, and God spoke in the Bible about men who move borders, men who move markers, that it's not a good thing, not a thing blessed by God. And so, the best way for the peoples, the Palestinians who live in Gaza, the very best way for them to be blessed was like when it was from 1967 until 2005 when it was given up by Ariel Sharon. And so we're going to lift up that Gaza border. And now we in the United States, I truly believe that the United States and Canada have the borders God gave them. There's a very interesting historical event that speaks to me about the borders of Canada. George Washington and his men, the hand of God was upon them. And God had divinely decreed that men should come here and there should be this nation of the United States of America, because it says that he does that in Acts chapter 17:26. And Washington's hand was blessed. Bullets pierced his coat, and he didn't die. And everything he did prospered until Benedict Arnold, who was then a general, and he was not yet a traitor, he tried to lead his men north into what is now Canada. He actually begged for the right to do that. I think that Washington was loath to do it, but Benedict Arnold prevailed, and they started north. When they started north, one thing after another happened to them. Terrible weather, swamp-like conditions, a sickness, and they were defeated. They could not take what is now Canada. I believe that the blessing of the Lord was on them when they took the borders that they were given by God, according to Acts 17:26. But when they tried to move into the borders of what God was going to give to what we now know as Canada, it didn't work. So these lands we have, and these borders we have. I found out who nominated me to be this, and I think it was Gary Bauer, who has been a part of that faith advisory board that the president appointed. And he appointed, even on the day of prayer, he wrote a presidential edict, a presidential, I've forgotten exactly what they call them right now, but he wrote that there should be this committee or something, a smaller group of people, and Gary's on it. And so for the last two calls, they make one call every month from the White House. It's a conference call. And then as emergency things come, they have an emergency call. Oh, he made an executive order. I thought of it just now. So I have been on two calls. There was one call that I missed after I had been on there. And they talked to us, and it's the most amazing thing. They say that this call is to faith leaders and friends of the White House. I know Paul White is, who has now been given a job in the White House, faith leaders and friends of the White House. So we're on the call, and they ask us, they advise us about things that are going on right now. But not only do they advise us about things that are going on, but they give us prayer requests. Isn't that something? The White House giving the preachers prayer requests? So the last two calls, of course, have been what we're talking about today, about our borders, about the borders of the United States. And there's been a lot of negative press, a lot of press that tries to make it look like we're not kind to children. On the presidential call that came on June 20th, we were told the president wants to handle this with compassion, but secure the borders. And, of course, you know that he did issue an executive order that children not be separated from their parents. We learned that there's an old law, and I talked to you about this last week. There's an old law in the books that demand that children not be held more than 20 days. So that separates them from some parents. Now, yesterday when we were on the call, we had a man come on named Scott Lloyd. And this is a name I want you to remember because he very humbly asked for prayer, Scott Lloyd. And we promised that we would pray. And so we're going to do that today. He's the director of Refugee Resettlement. And they explained how things work. For one thing, there are 26 ports of entry into the United States. Someone desiring to come in legally should appear at one of those ports of entry. What has caused the trouble lately is the illegal crossing of the border. And they explained in detail how the process is. Many of the children that are coming in, they don't have parents with them. They've been pushed across the border by their parents, and the average age is from 12 to 17. We're not talking about young little children. But they explained in detail what they do with them, how they care for them, how they have activities for them, how they try to get them repatriated with their families. And it was so much has gone into this and taking care of them. So this all has to do with, of course, illegal things. So this is a problem. This is something that Israel needs help on and that the United States needs help on. They need help on the border situation. And since God established borders, let us lift to him our leaders concerning the challenge of borders. I know in Europe there's a challenge of what to do about immigration. And so let's lift this to the Lord all in the Spirit, praying together. Heavenly Father, we do see and know that Gaza for sure, belongs to Israel as you have given it. And that border, Lord, so much trouble coming over that border. Lives are lost. Father, in the name above every name, some of those children who come to the border from the Gaza side have been raised all their lives to be martyrs. Oh, Father, we pray for the truth of God. We pray for the truth of God's word to infiltrate. Light is lighter and it is more powerful than darkness. And Father, I do know in the name above all names that you desire that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And I'm praying for those that are on the other side of the border, Lord, those that are on the dark side, Father, that there might be light in the name above all names. And, of course, we lift up Israel. We lift up their leaders. We lift up those who have to make decisions. Netanyahu has to make decisions. their Lieberman and the others that have to do with these things, right down to the little young commanders. Those little commanders in the IDF, Father, they're just boys themselves, but they are men. They are men. But they're like 20 and early 20s, and they have to make a decision. Father, in the name of the Lord, one by one, they have to make decisions. As they're standing on that border and someone bursts through, Father, in the name above all names, O parasite le don de becalafrite, Ejonda, you have the answer, you are the answer. Ilimakoria bakalakatisho tande idibrato, selimato ticando de cobrete di vrasote, ejede makara di licondiende de cuchata, ejede makara di licombri calacadito, eva la barasito lodonia di bakara. Igene Maria della Cohovratiti di Calandilicandia. And then, Father, there are the borders. For me, it's our border, my border. And there are people, again, people on both sides, Father, that Isti amokara nihiliantori bakalakadinya nora, please, may we learn to do, may we be able to do, will you please enable us to do what the president said was his heart's desire? And that is to use compassion, but secure the borders. Dear Father, show our leaders how. Show each border guard how. Show each judge how. Show each person how to have compassion. And yet, to secure our borders. E calavra sete di macara din jodogobre. I lift up Scott, Lord, Scott Lloyd. I heard his voice break, Lord, when he asked for prayer. We do it. We're doing it right now. All across America and Canada and even Europe, Lord. I didn't get on time in time to hear if there were others. But, oh, my Father, oh, my Jesus, this man, Scott Lloyd, is evidently one of your own. And he has this job as Director of Refugee Resettlement. Holy Father, that job this day must be a heavy one, a demanding one. And I lift up Scott Lloyd that you would think through his mind, that you would give him ideas, that you would send people to help him, and that with compassion and yet with the requirements of the law, and also mercy. Holy Father, help him. Dear Father, help him in his job today. Think through his mind. Give him wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, in the knowledge of our Savior. We lift up Scott Lloyd. We lift up, Lord, today, the President of the United States, Donald John Trump. I personally am thankful for him. I'm so thankful that you gave him to us. I'm so thankful for his mother, Mary McLeod. I'm so thankful for the move of God on the Isle of Lewis that affected her. I'm so thankful that she taught the Bible to her children. And I'm so thankful that Donald John Trump, I believe, has returned to the faith of his mother, the faith of his father. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we surround him with love and faith. Dear Lord, Paul Marcus sent me an email, and he said we should use the line in our pledge allegiance to the flag, that we are one nation, indivisible, under God. Father, in the name above every name, please keep us from being divided. Right now, Lord, there's such a division in this nation. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we lift it up for healing. We lift it up for healing, Father. In the name above all names, we lift up this division. These Ashtarmokoria Bakalakatino. We pray for our younger generation that they'll not be deceived. And that we can know a unity that would help us to work with you. Help us, Father. We thank you so much for the things that you've guided us in, that you've guided President Trump in. We thank you for Michael Pence, and we thank you for all the administration. We thank you for the godly representatives and senators and the judges. Oh, Lord, we appreciate some of the decisions that are being handed down now by the Supreme Court that guarantee our freedoms. Holy Father, in the name above all names, we lift up to you another nation right now. We lift up to you the nation of Persia, the nation of Iran. We see, Lord, where it will be in the time of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Right now, Father, in the name above all names, we would lift up those young people, or I'm not so sure who they are, but I know a lot of the young are involved, that are standing up against the leadership of Iran. I pray for them. We pray for them. Ilo brasata makaladiniano, evresato rukohoje deli dandar presafre, perfronika ladonje de kahajate, ijote li brasito rukohovretanyo nukobretato, ijene makaria nede koholobrate di vranda. There are meetings today, Lord. There are meetings where our National Security Advisor, John Bolton, is in Russia. Father, we know that Russia and Iran and Turkey, with everything that's going on there and Erdogan becoming a dictator, we know, Father, that the things of Ezekiel 38 and 39 are playing out before our very eyes. Holy Father, I believe with all my heart that in Ezekiel 38 and 39, your purpose is to reveal yourself to the nations. We lift up these nations, Father. We lift them up in the name above every name. Afrinako, I don't know exactly how to pray, but you do. And we pray that they move according to your plan. According to your plan, Father. But I do ask you, and I do believe with all my heart, that in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, that you want us to have some time, a window here. I believe we've got a window to move in and to demonstrate God in. And I pray for that window to remain open, and that we shall no more abrasito lo tobrate, the North Korean, y shall brotasa, y salabracando, y shede bratifra, Iran, ala Masonia, y caladala brete, y stianora bacalacaladino no cobre. And I lift up the body of Christ, Father. I lift them up to see who they are and what they are and the ishalamor and the authority that they have. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him to come to Rostramakaya to be Oshanamaya, Mile Dovrete, the body of Christ, to be aware of who they are and what they have. And I pray, Holy Father, that any plots, any young people that are being listening to the devil to plot against, to fire against, a public firing, a public shooting, a public attack, I ask, dear Father, in the name above all names, that it be found out and stopped. I thank you for every terrorist attack you have stopped. And I thank you for the praying people, stirring up the praying people to take the authority where they live. In the name above all names, let's do it together. In the name above all names, Father, we thank you for translating us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the light, the kingdom of your dear Son. We thank you we're not under the domain of the enemy, but that when you quickened our Lord, when you quickened the head, you quickened the body. When you raised the head, you raised the body. When you seated the head, you seated the body. And everybody on this phone is seated at the right hand of God, and we have our feet firmly on the earth, so we got the authority here. And in the name above all names, over our heads, in our realms of authority, in our realms where God has ordained that we should walk, and the good works that we should walk, we do say in the name of Jesus, Satan, cease and desist. We come out against you, and in the name we bind you. In the name above all names, the name of Jesus, the name of Yeshua, we bind you. You will not operate in our territories today, and they are vast. We do, in the name above all names, Ashtadamakaya, we do create Goshen over our heads. You get your hands off everything that pertains to anybody that's on this phone line. In the name above all names, you're paralyzed. In the name and by the blood, we plead the blood of Jesus over our families, over our houses, our lands, our assets. We plead the blood of Jesus over all the good works that God has ordained that we should walk in. And we arrest the Micaiah in the name above all names. We brost the Micaiah, and you know, Vrada Santa, you know good and well where you cannot operate, and you cannot operate because we have said so today. From Belgium and Canada and Ora Makaya across the United States. Praise the Lord. It's good to pray with you. And next Wednesday is the 4th of July, and I will be on the prayer call. We will be on the prayer call. There are some, Tony Parker and others, who have called for a unity in prayer for the nation of the United States all the days of July. And, of course, we pray every day. You all pray every day. We pray, first of all, for our leaders and for our nations. But we will be praying on the 4th of July together next Wednesday morning. Now, we will not have prayer next Wednesday, July 4th, out at Prayer Mountain. And there is some question whether we will have the prayer that Sunday afterwards out at Prayer Mountain, because we're going to give our people a vacation. Terry and I talked about it yesterday. We're going to give them Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday off, and then they have Saturday and Sunday, and that'll give them a little paid vacation, and they can rest and have a wonderful time with their families. I will be at noon prayer today. I'll see you there. At 12 noon, coming from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. That's at billybrim.org. I love you, and thank you for all being on the call today. Shalom, shalom.